Yeah, so the summit is obviously important for African leaders. So many of them, as you say, are going to this FOPEC summit in Beijing. I myself am disappointed that some of the junta leaders in Africa have been invited, given that that isn't in the spirit of the guidance of the African Union. But China clearly has ignored the African Union in this regard and has invited leaders such as the leader of the junta in Mali. But that is what it is. This is an opportunity for African countries to obtain bank loans and get more foreign direct investment from China.
And Alex, China has sent hundreds of thousands of workers to Africa to build its mega projects while tapping the continent's vast natural resources, including copper, gold, lithium, and rare earth minerals.
So the number of Chinese workers for big infrastructure projects is significantly declined. I mean, if you look at the large loans that China provided Africa, they peaked in 2016 at $28 billion, but then they really dipped to less than $1 billion in 2022. There's been an uptick last year in 2023, some $4.16 billion to 30 new commitments in 8 African countries, but much of over half of that was to the bank. So the relationship between China and the African continent is changing. It's less about big ticket infrastructure projects, I think, now, and it's more about trade and foreign direct investment. And then where there are big ticket items with billions of dollars going to them, they are more linked to renewable projects, for example.
And let's talk about the loans, Alex. Beijing's loans to African nations last year were their highest in 5 years. Research by the Chinese Loans to Africa database found like top borrowers being Angola, Ethiopia, Egypt, Nigeria, Kenya. So let's talk about these loans. Any hidden agenda there?
When you dig into this data, more than half of last year's loans went to African banks, which is compared to barely 5% in previous years. So as I said, I think this is pointing to a shift towards enabling trade between African and Chinese businesses. So there is something that's changing. When you look at the countries that received loans last year, out of this 4.6 billion, then as you say, North Africa, Egypt is the main one. And then the second largest beneficiary is Nigeria. In the past, the Chinese lending to Nigeria was more cautious. So that is certainly a significant development. The other countries on the list are countries that have received money before from China, Uganda, Angola, Eritrea, for example, and Cote d'Ivoire. I suppose I'm interested that last year Burkina Faso, which is a military junta, did receive a loan from China worth $50.1 million. So clearly, coup countries are not precluded from receiving loans from China.
Could you talk about maybe the agricultural trade? The continent's potential for agricultural production remains largely untapped, despite a few countries, notably South Africa, Egypt, and Kenya, having found thriving markets in China. Will other countries also join South Africa, Egypt, and Kenya as far as unburdening their agricultural products?
Definitely. There's plenty of room for investment in agribusiness. And so China, among other countries, is looking at the African continent in this regard. And I do think this is where there is also an overlap with the renewed interest of China in renewable projects. So there's a pickup in the energy sector lending that we haven't seen over the last couple of years, but we saw last year. This isn't bad news for Africa, and I don't think we should be worried about it. There's plenty of investment opportunity in Africa for everybody, the United States included. So I don't see anything ulterior here. The issue is the most important point, I think, is that the Chinese have greatly reduced the number of migrant workers that they're sending to Africa, and the importance is to create more African jobs.